We appreciate the visitors that we have this evening. John, it was good to have you, brother, in the lineup. I noticed right away that you observed the 11th commandment. Did you remember what you used to say that when you got up?
Thou shall not drag.
Thou shall not drag. 11th commandment. You know, there are two key verses that we go to when we talk about singing. One of those is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, you're well aware of, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, which we were certainly doing this evening. Another key verse is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16 really identify what we are to sing. Notice the categories there, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalms, of course, I think that's easy to identify because those would be songs that are based upon the Psalms. For example, the Lord is my shepherd. That song that we sing, the Lord is my shepherd, is based upon Psalm 23. The song that is still up there that we sing sometimes, unto thee, O Lord, is based upon Psalm 25. And so as you go through the songbook, you start noting that there are a good many songs that are based upon the Psalms, taken from the Psalms. And then it says that we are not only to sing Psalms, but we are also to sing hymns. That would be identified as songs of praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving to God. Now, it's interesting when you read Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30 that after it's at the Passover, the last Passover that Jesus is observing with his disciples, it's at that time he institutes the Lord's Supper. And they really did what we did this morning. After the Lord's Supper, it says that Jesus and his apostles sang a hymn, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30. Notice the word hymn. The hymn is praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving to God. It's also interesting to note in Acts chapter 16, with Paul and Silas in prison, it says there that they were praying and they were also singing hymns. Paul and Silas, they were singing hymns. They were singing the songs that they knew that would bring honor and glory and praise and thanksgiving to God. And then the third, spiritual songs, is a more general kind of category. And so in that category, you would put those songs that express our faith. There are some songs that we sing that teach doctrine. For example, when we sing that song that says, "Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?" Well, we are singing a teaching or a doctrine that is in the New Testament reminding people that they need to be ready for the judgment day. Also included in this category of spiritual songs would be songs that encourage the church, songs that, as we speak to one another, that promote others to love and good works. Like we sing the song, "Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother?" We are encouraging one another to be about the business of love and good works. The Apostle Paul added to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15, that as we sing, we are to sing with the Spirit and with the understanding. Well, what does that mean? Well, I think we understand the spirit part because we've talked about that before. As we sing those psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that we are to sing with the spirit, that's our spirit, that we are to be connected. Our emotions, our heart, our mind is to be focused on what we are singing. As somebody mentioned a moment ago, these are not just words. These are not just words. These are words that have meaning. And we're connected to that with spirit. But he also said that we are to sing with the understanding. He says you sing with the spirit and you sing with the understanding. Now, do we, all of the songs that we sing, do we sing with the understanding? Let me give you a couple of examples. In that song, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing, in verse 2, there's that part that says, here I raise my Ebenezer. Well, what is an Ebenezer? What comes to your mind? Maybe this time of year, what comes to our mind is Ebenezer Scrooge. You know, that's who I'm thinking about. Are we singing with understanding when we just say, here I raise my Ebenezer, and we have no idea what that means, and we just go on singing? We're not singing with the understanding. You know, the answer to that is found in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 7 through 12, where the Israelites were hard-pressed by the Philistines. And God helped them in overcoming the Philistines. And without God's help, they would not be able to overcome the Philistines. And so Samuel takes this stone, this monument, and he raises it up. And it's the Ebenezer stone. And he says, the Lord has helped us. That was a reminder to them. Every time they looked by that stone or passed by that stone, that in that time of trouble and in that time of difficulty facing the Philistines, that God had helped them. So when we sing the song, here I raise my Ebenezer, we're just reminding everyone about the Ebenezer stone, that God has helped us, that God helps us, and he continues to help us in a variety of ways. You know, there's another song that we sing, the song Heaven Came Down. Heaven Came Down. And verse 2 says, when as a sinner I came, took of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his name. What is that word proffer? And we sing that. We sing the words, I came, I took the offer of his grace he did proffer, he saved me. Oh, praise his great name. What is proffer? Proffer. We're to sing with the understanding. This time we're reminding each other, when we come to that word proffer, that God's grace is proffered. It simply means to present something to someone. It is the thought, it is the meaning of making something available for acceptance. So what is being offered here? What is being offered to sinful humanity? What is being presented to sinful humanity for acceptance? It's God's grace. It's God's grace. So when we sing that word proffer, we should think about the fact that God presented, he offered, he made available for acceptance his grace. And so we sing the phrase, when as a sinner I came, I took of the offer of grace he did proffer. He made it available. He offered it for acceptance. Here it is. And then it goes on to say, he saved me, oh praise his great name. We are to sing in the spirit. We are to sing with the understanding. One more example along this line is a mighty fortress is our God. In verse 1 it says, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. What is a bulwark? I think we've got mighty fortress down, but he is a bulwark never failing. And I can just sing past that without the understanding of what that word means. When we sing concerning God, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, a bulwark is a defensive wall. A defensive wall. And so when we're singing this, that a mighty fortress is our God, he is our defensive wall. He is protecting us. He is sheltering us. He is defending us. So as the Apostle Paul said, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. I want to make the comment concerning our song leaders. And you know, David is so gracious. I said, David, I'm putting myself in. I'm sitting down here. He said, go ahead. You know, he invites me to come in there and, okay, do that if you want to, which I think everybody would be saying, time out, time out. But we're blessed with song leaders in this congregation. And John, we're so glad that you were be with us this evening and participate in this, and with all of our song leaders. Steve, brother, you're here. You always add to it. The young men who are under the tutorage of David, they are growing in that. They are bold. They are courageous as they stand before the congregation to lead us. And appreciate Chad and Todd as the opportunity. And we have some of our, at least one I can think of, Anthony, is not here this evening. But we are blessed with the song leaders, men who are able to lead us in those psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs so that we can speak to one another and that we can make that melody in our heart. At the end of every service, we always take the opportunity to extend the invitation. And that invitation is very simple. As Jesus extended the invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Who can not respond to an invitation like that? Heavy laden, burdened down. You come to me, he said, and I'll give you rest. We're going to extend the invitation. If you're among us this evening and you've not taken that step of obedience to the gospel, that is belief in Jesus Christ. That is repenting of sins. That is confessing his name. It's the same confession that Peter made in Matthew 16 when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon that confession, to be buried in that watery grave of baptism. They began to do that in Acts chapter 2. Peter told that crowd that cried out, men and brethren, what must we do? He says, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, what for? There would be some religious groups today who would say, that's not necessary. That's not necessary. But you notice Peter did not respond like many in the religious world would respond today. Peter said, you repent. You be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Notice the order. Believe, baptized, salvation. If you need to take that step this evening, that you might do that. If you need to respond in way of desiring brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you as we are launched into this new year by the grace of God. The invitation is for you as together we stand and sing.